Thank you for joining Dayspring Christian Church today. Our aim is to share the transforming love and power of Jesus Christ. Please enjoy a Sunday sermon already in progress.
Matthew chapter 7. Now, the last couple times I've spoken to you about getting ready, being ready, and staying ready. And I just want to continue in that series today. And I really feel that we are in very serious times. I don't know if you're praying and seeking the Lord, but even as you see what's happening across the world, this is very serious times. And it's so serious that you cannot hang on one particular news before another overlaps it and the previous news almost disappears. Remember, you know that we're still in war, right? There's still a war happening. Hardly ever do we hear reports about the news, about that news now, because there's more stuff that keeps happening. Now the abortion ruling, that the overturning that took place in the States, and that's caused division again, because you have believers who are pro-choice. Now that's coming out to the open. And there's such division because you pastors and believers who thought were pro-life, all of a sudden they're now saying, oh my goodness, what's happened to these women? These women should choose. And now we see that there is more support for murder than we ever thought. This is serious times. The Bible says that all this stuff is going to happen. And when all this stuff starts happening, to be ready. Do you hear me? And I know for some of us, we've heard this, you know, growing up, whatever. But even growing up, I have never experienced a time like we're experiencing now.
True.
I haven't. True. I haven't experienced a time that we're experiencing now with the hatred, with the spiritual things that are taking place. But there's also the sad part of it is what's happening within the Church of Jesus Christ. There is more of an exit happening in the body of Christ than ever before.
Yep.
Pastors leaving. Yep. Not only the ministry are leaving their pastorate, they're not even serving the Lord anymore. Remember the last time I spoke about being, we're a feelings faith, right? Where it's all about the feelings. Now, you know, when you're in front of the crowd and everything's great and the church is growing, it's wonderful. But now, when the church is dwindled down because of COVID and you now don't have the spotlight, all that stuff comes to the surface. And I want to look at a scripture that talks just about this also, because I feel that God is preparing us as a church to not follow others, but to make sure you as an individual are being aware of your own spiritual life and your own spiritual growth.
Amen.
Because only you can stand before God.
Yeah, that's right.
Only you can stand before God. I wish, you know, for years that I could at least stand there and say, Father, like, this is a good person. Like, they've shown up every week. And, you know, that somehow my testimony could somehow bump them a bit further into heaven. But no, I'm going to have to stand before God for myself. And if I have to do that for myself and no one's going to stand there, there's no way I'm standing there for you. Right? Paul says, after you teach, you yourself become a castaway because you weren't in love with Jesus. And so I want us to look at the scripture, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, I'm going to start at verse 24. Just a simple scripture, but it's so impactful and a reminder for us today as to where we are, an evaluation of where we're at right now. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 24, reading from the English Standard Version. It says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Great was the fall of it. I want to talk to you this morning and be ready, stay ready. The rock man and the sand man. The rock man and the sand man. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you'd speak to us again today. I pray that we'd evaluate our lives and our relationship with you and the things that we've heard and the things that we do to make decisions today to continue to grow in you and not to be distracted. I pray that we'd evaluate, Father, our own house, our own faith, and determine, God, if we're going to continue with you. And those who may be weak or frail, those who are on the fringe, those who may have drifted already, but they're just here in body, I pray that you speak to them today. Speak to their hearts and encourage them. Know your love for them. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Now, those of you who know the song, let's sing with me. The wise man built his
house upon the rock.
Some of you grew up in Sunday school. The wise man built his
house upon the rock.
The wise man built his
house upon the rock.
And
he was tumbling down.
Okay, go ahead.
The rain came down and the flood came.
The rain came
so we remember.
And the glass came up, and the wind.
And the house stood firm, right? But okay, the foolish man built his
house upon the rock.
Foolish man built his
house.
Foolish man built his
house upon the sand.
Okay, let's do it.
The rain came down and the floods came up. The rain came down and the floods came up. And the house tumbling down.
Okay. Those of you who grew up in Sunday school, remember that song? Go ahead and raise your hand. Yeah, I remember that song. You remember the last verse of it? It says, so build your house. Thank you, Mitzi. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ.
And the blessings will come down.
Good.
The blessings will come down as the prayers go up.
Praise go up. Come on.
The blessings will come down as the prayers go up. The blessings will come down as the prayers go up.
And the there is. Come on, guys. So build your house on the Lord. Remember those days, right? Such a simple song, but it's so impactful. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus starts his famous Sermon on the Mount, and he goes through these attitudes to be. And he reviews, as we go from chapter 5 over to chapter 6, you see that Jesus begins to talk about some really impactful things. He's trying to get people to understand that when you're in the kingdom of God, and when you're serving him, that your life is different, you think different, you walk different, your attitude is different, and it's countercultural. You don't act like the world. So he talked about us being the salt and the light. He talked about the fact that he came to fulfill the law. He talked about how we respond in anger and whether we should continue in that spirit of anger. He talks about lust. He talks about divorce. He talks about making oaths. He talks about retaliation. He talks about that we need to love our enemies and those that persecute us. And then he talks about giving to the needy, what you do with your finances. And then in the midst of that, he teaches them how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil, from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. He talks about fasting and how you don't be like the hypocrites, that you secretly go and you fast. You don't pronounce it to everyone. He talks about laying up treasures in heaven, what you do with your finances, and how it's more about the kingdom of God and the fact that all that we have is God's. And whatever we do with our finances, we lay lay up treasures in heaven, and we're not trying to build a kingdom down here on earth. We're trying to store up treasures in heaven. He talks about not being anxious for anything, because he's the one who takes care of us and watches over us. And then it comes to chapter 7, he says, and he talks about judging others. Don't judge other people, because you're going to be judged. He says, yeah, there's a plank in your own eye when you're trying to get this, deal with the speck in your brother's eye. And he talks about the fact that we serve a Father, we can ask, it will be given to us. And because he says, those of us that are evil know how to give good gifts to our children. How much more a Heavenly Father who's in heaven will give good gifts to those who ask him? And then he talks about the golden rule, right? Do unto others as you have them do unto you. And he talks about a tree and its fruit, and how when you produce, it's going to show the production of that, your heart and of your life. And then he talks about these jokers who pretended to be from him, and yet at the end day, he says to them, sorry, I never knew you. And they are saying, Lord, we did all these things for you. He says, I'm going to tell them plainly, I didn't know them. Depart from me. And then he gets to this scripture, and he's ending off his sermon, he's ending off his message, and he now talks about the house that's built on the rock and the house that's built on sand. And at this point, Jesus is now rounding up, and they've been listening to him, you know, for quite a long time, and they've been hearing what he's saying. It's been a change in their heart, and they've been changing their mind. And then he ends by saying, hey, you know what, those of you who are listening, those of you hearing what I'm saying, anybody who hears these words of mine, but if they don't do them, I'm going to tell you what your state is like. But those of you who do them, I'm going to tell you what your state is going to be like. I'm going to tell you, and he refers to a wise man and a foolish man, a rock man and a sand man. And Jesus ends his sermon with the scripture that we read earlier, trying to let them know, guys, I know you've been listening. I know you've been going to church. I know you've been trying to be religious. But if you're not doing what the scripture says, I want to tell you what your outcome is going to be like. I want to tell you what your life's going to be like. I want to tell you how you're going to survive. You see, both of these guys built a house. Both of them seemed to build a good house. It seemed to be a familiar house. I think both of these built the same kind of a house. It seemed to be from the outside looking good. From the outside looked stable. Both of them built a house that may have been looking like the same house, as Jesus was trying to tell them. Like, they're both equal houses. Both look great from the outside. Both have a nice driveway. The landscaping is all done. But there was a difference. Both of them face the same elements. Both of them face the rain, they face the flood, they face the wind. Both of them face the same stuff, look the same, probably built the same, looking from the outside, but there was a difference, and the difference was the foundation. Difference was the foundation. One was built on the rock, the bedrock is, if you read it in Luke chapter 6, talked about going down into the bedrock, and that became the foundation, because a proper foundation is necessary for anything that you're going to build. A proper foundation of not only your faith, but proper foundation of marriage. I tell married couples all the time before they get married, we want to work on preparing you for the marriage, setting a good foundation for your marriage so that you can last a lifetime, rather than just kind of throwing things together and hope that we make it. You see, with a literal house, it's unwise to build on the sand, to build on the ground without a foundation, because the foundation becomes sturdy, the foundation becomes unsteady, the foundation can give at any moment, any time, and whatever the elements are, the foundation is going to respond to that. And it becomes a waste of your resources. All the wood that we spent, all the metal that you put together, all the bricks that you put on the house becomes a waste, because now the house begins to shift and there's cracks now in the house because the foundation wasn't secure. And Jesus is trying to get them to understand that, hey, pay attention to your foundation. It doesn't matter how good you look on the outside. It doesn't matter how well you present it to other people. If your foundation isn't secured on the rock, you're not going to stand. You can pretend all you want to pretend. You can act all you want to act. But when the elements hit, it's when the testing is going to be. I speak of the people who, one week they're doing great and God is so wonderful and He's a provider. The next week, man, we're not even talking. I can't believe that God did this. And how could, wow, their foundation. See, it's wise to build one's house on a sure foundation. And Luke 6 talks about digging deeper. It's anchored. It's built to withstand the test of time. Your faith is built on Jesus Christ to withstand the journey of your Christian life so that we don't slip. And the people that are slipping away, the people that are falling away from Christ, we have to look at that foundation. Where was your foundation? What was it built on? Was it built on your feelings? Was it built on the church? Right, pastors who are so dismayed because all of a sudden now they're going back to church or opening their buildings and 30, 40, 50% of the congregation is coming back and 50% are saying, sorry, pastor, we're not coming back. Some of them just want to do it online, but some of them is like we don't see the need for church anymore. We've drifted so far. We don't see the need for it anymore. That Jesus was not concerned with the house construction or building codes or violations of those codes. He says, anyone who hears these words of mine, anyone who takes the word of God and puts it into practice, that is how your foundation gets built and secured. I don't know about you, but if you ever, those of you who own a house and have a crack in the foundation and water begins to leak in the foundation, the panic that happens because the water's leaking, you can't stop the leak. You try to plug, you got to lift things off the ground, you got to see it. I remember at our old house, no matter how I plugged it, as soon as the rain would start coming down again. So I'm like, my goodness, I've plugged this thing so many times. Where is the source of this coming from? And only to see that my neighbor's eaves were off, and the water was coming right down beside my foundation, and now it revealed the crack that was in the foundation. That's what the elements do. Yes. See, we're building a life here. The proper foundation for life is in the words of Jesus Christ. He's saying, when you hear my word, when you read my word, that's what's going to keep you stable. If you've been going day after day without doing your devotions, if you've been going week after week without reading the word of God, getting the word of God, if you think you're okay with not attending church or listening to the word of God, that you're going to make it, Jesus is saying, no, you're foolish, he's saying. You're a sinning man, and you're all washed away. It's not going to be stable enough to hold you. Jesus talks about this wise man and this foolish man. And truly, he's saying, you're going to know the difference between a true Christian and a false Christian. He says, yeah, I'm going to tell you the difference between a true Christian and a false Christian. And the difference is their foundation. The difference is whether or not they survive the elements. The difference is whether or not they stay on course. See, the proper foundations are necessary because it's stable. Like when we think of a literal house, we try to build on that house and we try to add additions to the house. If the foundation isn't secure, then it's going to pull on the house. It's going to ruin the house. It's going to ruin the house. So the foundation. But Jesus points out the difference between the true Christian and the false Christian. He's trying to get us to understand, you can't easily detect them. No. Right? He's talking about there's two houses, and the houses look great, but you can't tell from the outside whether or not the house is good. You can't tell by talking to a person whether the foundation is good, where they built. You can't tell, is what he's saying. They look strong, and they act like they have it all secure, everything that you go by, you and you look at, the windows look fine, the garage looks good, the doors matching the garage doors, and the driveway's all paved, and the pathway's all done. Everything looks good on the outside. He's saying you can't tell from the outside. Yes, oh my goodness, isn't church the easiest place to hide? We can just act like everything's great. We can go through the elements and do everything so that everybody can see and think that it's great. But behind the scenes, Jesus said, no, we can't tell. He says, you know what? We're going to have to allow the wheat and the tears to grow together. We're going to have the good grass and the wheat to grow together because the day of harvest is coming. Because you can't tell. And we're going to be surprised.
Yes, Lord.
Everyone who saw the Sandman's house, they loved it. They walked past and said, man, look at that house. Look how quickly they built it. Man, it looks so wonderful. Look at the lights around the house. Everybody looked at it. Man, they look so secure. It must be so warm inside. We see fire coming through the chimney. Everything was wonderful. The Sandman's house looks so great to everybody. The Sandman knows what to say. The Sandman knows how to act. Jesus points him out. He says, hey, there's going to be on that day that so many are going to say to me, Lord, didn't we cast out devils in your name? Lord, didn't we heal the sick in your name? And he says, I'm going to say to them, depart from me. I never knew you. What were they doing? They were amplifying their works. They say, Lord, look at the work we did for you. Wouldn't at that point you say, Jesus, didn't we spend time together? Like, wasn't it my devotion is when you spoke to me? Like, but no, they were focused on their works. Lord, we went to church and we did these things. We sang the songs. We raised our hands. We cast out devils. Look at the works I did, Jesus. He said, no, depart from me. I didn't know you. Sandman. That's a Sandman. Everything is good on the outside. Oh, they fall with such anointing. They're believers. The Sandman was a Christian.
Yes.
By name. Sandman is a Christian. The Rock Man we know is a Christian, but the Sandman was a Christian too. He showed up, he pastored. He was a prophet. He sang worship. He played the music. Sandman shook your hand and act like he even gave a blessing, an offering. He even showed up to pray for you in the hospital. Sandman looks great from the outside. There's something missing. So it's not the look of the house that's a concern. It's the foundation. No matter how excellent the house looks, there's no foundation. The house was built in vain. In other words, if you're serving Jesus Christ and not spending time in his word, it's in vain. If you're saying you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you're hoping to get to heaven, but you're not spending time in his word, and listening to his word, and reading his word, and getting to know him, he's saying, hey, it's in vain. You're wasting your time. Because there's no relationship there. Jesus says, hey, those of you who hear my word and you do what it says, like this wise man. But if you're not going to do it, then you're like the Sandman. It's foolish, man. You're playing games. You're not fully committed. There's no foundation. You're not going to make it. You see, false Christians are like these false prophets that Jesus will talk about in verse 15. Like, they do the part, they act the part. But their foundation is lacking. And when Jesus said these words to them, he wasn't speaking of the outside. He was talking about their faith. He was talking about their stability. He was talking about their growth. Because definitely the crowd was big. And there are many foundations, but for us, the only foundation is Jesus Christ. There's so many foundations that are out there. Your work can be a foundation. Your kids, your family can be a foundation. There's other things that you can secure yourself on, but nothing else is going to stand unless you secure it on Jesus Christ. Because Jesus refers to those guys in verse 15 about them being wolves in sheep's clothing. They're acting the part. They're doing everything well, but they're so far from him. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11 says, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul was trying to say, guys, of all the things you can put your security in, There's no other security but Jesus Christ. See, the true Christian is the one who knows Jesus Christ and obeys him. It's not about words. It's not about going off on your own tangent of what you think God is saying and doing. No, it's at the foundation of his word. What his word says. Not what Pastor White says, or Pastor you, or Pastor Jermaine, or Pastor Trey, or Pastor Lori. No, what anyone else says. It's knowing the word for yourself. How you're going to make it. We can pray for you. We can bless you. But you have to put the work in, building the foundation, assuring that it's in Jesus Christ. He says those who hear the words and puts them into practice. If we know Christ, whoever, whatever he commands, in John chapter 14, he says, whoever has my commandments and obeys them is the one who loves me. You remember when Jesus was walking and the lady shouted out and says, blessed is the womb that gave birth to you, and blessed is the breast that nursed you. And it was trying to big up Mary. What if Jesus turned around and says, hey, rather blessed is the one who obeys my word. It was so important to him that it overrides the importance of his mother, whether she gave birth to him. He's like, no, that's not important. We can't figure out because of what she did to give birth to me. No, if you hear my word, obey my word, that's what's important. That's what's important. Could you imagine the lady who heard that? Talking so loud so everyone can hear her. Blessed are you. Blessed is your mom. And Jesus says, sorry, actually blessed are you if you obey me. See, you know these things, Jesus says, we have to do them. See, the person who is wise is the person who's going to make it. It's a person who pleases the Father. That's a rock man. I'm going to please the Father. I'm going to please the Father. I'm going to please the Father. And do whatever the Father tells me. The foolish person builds his own house on the sand because it's all about them. And they think they're safe. And they believe that they're believers. And they're looking at their house. And they think it's not going to fall. But it's going to fall. So what do you have to do? We have to examine ourselves. We have to ask ourselves, what kind of a house am I building? What kind of a house am I building? Am I just going through the motions? Am I just showing up? Am I just here to punch the clock? Or am I building a secure foundation in Jesus Christ? You all have to evaluate for yourself. I have to evaluate for myself. What kind of house am I building? Is it just a house that secures and is secure at some point in time, but when the elements come, it's now being washed away? We have to examine ourselves. You see, our greatest desire is to get the security and the comfort and peace in order to build the house, but if we're doing it on the sand, it's not going to survive. It's not going to survive. And so he lives to please Jesus Christ. So what does Satan do? Satan then gives this false security. Satan sends the rain, and he sends the flood, and he sends the wind, right? Every house has to face the rain. Every house has to face the floods. Yes. Every house has to face the wind. Yes. No matter what you got, became a believer today, or you've been a believer for 30, 40 years, all of us have to face the rain, the flood, and we have to face the wind. We cannot escape it.
Yes.
It's going to come. And that, how can we distinguish between the two houses? Usually you cannot tell them apart until these elements hit.
Yes.
It's whether or not it's going to survive the rain. It's whether or not the floods are going to take it out. It's whether or not the elements are going to be able to wash it away, whether it's going to stand strong or not. Because it says the wind beat against it. And beat against it. You thought you were secure? Wait until the rain comes, because the rain stands for the various kinds of troubles, such as persecution and loss of property, loss of prosperity, a loss of health, and finally even maybe death that we experience. And it's all these trials that come from the outside, the rain, it falls. It falls. You can see when the clouds come over and it's going to rain, and so you kind of have to prepare for it, but it still falls. It still falls. The flood stands for the worldly desires, the worldly pride, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the secret sins, this worry, this selfishness, this lying, this busyness. These are all temptations that come from within. So we get hit from the outside, we get from the inside. all of a sudden there's a leak in the house. There's a crack in the wall, and now the rain is coming in. The floods are now coming up from the bottom, and we get hit from on top, and we get hit from the bottom, and now it's rising. You see what Satan does? These two kind of temptations, the outer temptation, the inner temptation, Satan tries to overcome us by those particular things. Those are from the outside and those from within. And Satan first tries to, for the love of the world, to attract us. When he can't attract us from the love of the world, then he sends persecution.
Yes.
How can I shift them? How can I get them off their feet? And so the wind now comes, and the wind is Satan himself. Remember Jesus when he's on the storm with the disciples and the wind was tossing back and forth, he's sleeping. He woke up, and what did he do? He rebuked the wind. And here he's talking about this wind that comes. The wind is Satan himself as an assignment for you. And the first two trials don't take you out. Satan has an attack that's directing at your doubts and your fear and your despair. And as Jesus says, it beats against the house. It beats against the house. We've experienced some storms lately in the last couple of years. Have you been in the house when those things happen? Have you felt your windows vibrate and shake? Have you seen the trees bend over and break off? Like, that is what Jesus says comes against you. It beats and beats, and the enemy doesn't back off until he determines the foundation. And the foundation isn't secure, then you're drifted away by the flood. The wind has knocked over the house because there's no foundation. You think it's just simple tiles off of your roof. No, the whole house is gone. Jesus is saying it's going to hit you. But what determines your security is how you treat my word. What determines where you're going to survive in the season is whether or not you secure my word. And it's a daily thing, because I don't know about you, but daily the rain comes. And daily the floods come. And daily the wind comes. Because it doesn't stop. And you know what? It happens for the rest of your life.
That's right.
It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop, church. It doesn't stop. And we see those who come, we see those who go, because their foundation wasn't secured in Jesus Christ. He's saying, you got to get ready. You got to be ready. You got to stay ready. Check your foundation. Get it secured in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, you know the hearts of each person that's in the room, this room. You know their heart. You know their journey. You know the road that they've been on. You know where their faith is, God. You know where, God, whether they're holding on to you securely or they're holding on to you lightly. You know, God, whether they're coming or going. You know whether it's about convenience or whether there's a decision to serve you and a commitment to follow you for the rest of their lives. You know each person that is before you today. And I pray in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus today, God, that we would check our houses. We would check the foundation of our house, God. Those that are in the room, that they can see the sand, and what they thought was brick is and what they thought was cement is sand. God, I pray that they come before you. They repent of their sins. God, they get to the word of God, the faith we built with time with you, and they'd be secure in you. I pray for those this morning, God, who've been wavering back and forth. God, they've been in and out of faith with you. They've been in and out of trusting you. I pray, God, that they be secure in you, but to look at their foundation. Because their foundation is not secure. It's not secure. God, whatever their dependencies are, I pray that it shift towards you. God, those who've been beaten in this room, those who go through it every day, go from one trial to the next, and the devil is trying to sidetrack them and try to take them off course, but yet they still show up and they still praise you and they still give you thanks. And God, they may not understand it, they may not know what's happening, but yet, God, they still give praise to you. It's because their foundation is in you. And like the disciples, they say, where else can we go? You have the words of life.
Yes.
So I pray this morning, God, there'll be honesty before you. I pray this morning, God, before we go to bed, we make it right with you. I pray for those, God, who feel weak in their faith, God, that today they'd ask for prayer. They'd ask for those to encourage them, to walk with them, to hold them accountable. Today, God, we would do it. We trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. So I want you to ask your neighbor a question. How's your house? Go and ask them, how's your house? How's your house? How's your house? Ask your kids today. Ask them, how's their house? Ask your relatives today, how's your house? Ask your spouse today, how's your house? Bless the Lord. Thank you for being God's house this morning. This afternoon, as you go, hear the word of the Lord this morning.